or not. We're here on TikTok. Your host, Apostle Jason Leppard. Hello, guys. This is Apostle Knight. Thank you for tuning in on our podcast tonight and on TikTok and everywhere you're listening. You can go back to our podcast and hear this. You can find us on all media platforms like iHeartRadio. You can download our you can also download our radio on Apple and Android at The Kingdom Radio. Yeah, just type in The Kingdom Radio. You can also download our app and listen to our 24-hour radio station. All right, guys, we're going to get started. We're going to talk on love tonight, our love for God. I know I've been on this series, and I guess I'll title this tonight, What is Love? There's a love where God showed us love, but God wants us to show him love back. Okay, and that's what he's looking for. He's looking for lovers. He's looking for somebody that will love him no matter what. He's looking for love. So let's get into this. Let's get into the New Testament. Give me just a second, guys. God, we all know that John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." I want to demonstrate to you that God's already showed his love to us by giving his best. He didn't give his rest, he gave his best. But now we got to give our best back to him. Who knows? Love goes two different ways. It just don't go one. When it's one-sided, it will never work. When it's one-sided, it will never work. When love is just one side, it will never work. So, let's get into some scripture here and find out what love are we talking about tonight. What is love? You know, love goes both ways. It has to come from both parties. And as we look at a husband and wife, how they love one another, a husband just can't love a wife. A wife's got to respect a husband, but she shows her love by her respect. So I'm saying, because the Bible says, for the man is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, he should love his wife like Christ loves the church. But she shows her love in a different way than I show my love. I show my love as I'm building a church like Christ is building a church. It may come in correction. It may come in a form of respect. See, that's one thing. A man loves a woman different than a woman loves a man. So God loved us, but he gave his best to us. He gave his only begotten Son, and that's why we got to love God back. So how do we love God back? How do we fathom God's love? I mean, God's love is unending. God's love, the Bible said God is love. Without him, there's no love. None of us know how to love without him. If God didn't put the love inside of us, we couldn't love anyways. So love is of God. And if you say you hate your brother, then you can't love God. See, but how do we show God we love him? That's the question that we all ask and we wonder. We show God, number one, how we love him for what we do for him. How we use our talent that he gave us for him. How we use our money and give him his part of it. That's another thing, how we show God we love him. We also see a scripture in the Bible where Peter was on the shore And Jesus comes up to Peter and he says, Peter, do you lovest thou me? See, Jesus was constantly looking for people that love him. See, but Jesus also made a statement at the worshiper. He said, God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So we love him when we are in spirit and in truth. But how do you get in the spirit? I'm glad you asked. You can't get in the spirit if you don't have the spirit. So how do we show him we love him? First, we got to give our life to him. We got to surrender our life to him, and that's how we show him we love him. Another thing how we show God we love him, through our obedience. When we obey him, Jesus made another statement. He said, why do you do the things that I tell you to do and you do not? And then you say you love me? See, we show our love in obedience. That's why we show God we love him. See, God told me one time, he said, son, you know why I keep blessing you and nobody else? Because your heart is in the right direction with me. Your heart is in a right direction with me. Nobody else's heart is. They're either doing it for an agenda or they're doing it to get something. You're not. You're doing it because you love me. And that's why everywhere you go, I open up blessings for you. And I'll continue to do it as long as your heart is in the right direction. See, some people do things to get things. You ever had people do that to you? They have an agenda behind their action. Otherwise, they wouldn't be talking to you if they didn't have an agenda. See, some people got an agenda just to come to you to get stuff. And when they get stuff, guess what? They're gone. See, God knows the motive of our heart. Okay, we look at Cain and Abel. They both had an offering towards God. But Cain, on the other hand, his offering was trying to compete with his brother. His offering wasn't because he loved God. See, but Abel's offering because he loved God. He wasn't competing with nobody. See, Cain had an ought with his brother, and that's why God told Cain, he said, Cain, why do you have an ought with your brother seeing light at your door? See, you can't have agendas with God. You can't be doing something for somebody just because you're trying to get something from them. You got to do it with a genuine heart of knowing, hey, I'm doing this because I love God. I'm not doing this to get fame or him or trying to get his Porsche or fame. You know, some people, I've heard rich people say this, some people want to be my friend because of my money. Some people want to be my friend because of my money. My friend, if I was so rich, filthy rich, I wouldn't want you around me because of my money. Because if that's so, then you're not truly my friend. In Matthew 5:43 says, you have heard and said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Another way you can show God you love him, by loving your neighbor as yourself. In Matthew 5:46, it says, if you love them that which love you, what reward do you have? Another way you show God you love him, by loving people that can't stand you. Jesus made a statement, they know you're my disciples because you have what? Love for one another. Not hate, love. Another way you can show him in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one or love the other. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Yet you can't serve God and mammon. That's how you show God you love him. You won't put nothing before him. I like what Jesus says in Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Guys, I'm teaching you stuff that will get you favored with God. I'm teaching you things that will get you right standing with God. Do you know your love is a sign of repentance? Do you know why Jesus, watch this, why Judas went to hell and why Peter did the same thing? He denied him too. But you know what kept Peter in the fold with Jesus? It was his love. See, Peter had a love. He wasn't perfect. But when he did mess up, he felt so bad about it. But you notice Judas didn't come back and repent. He didn't. He didn't feel no remorse of what he done. That shows your love for God too. When you feel convicted about things, and when you do wrong, you feel convicted and you feel bad about it. That shows your love to God. That shows your sincerity of, hey, I messed up, Lord, but I'm sorry. And be genuine about it. Don't be just doing it because people are around and you want them to pat you on the back because you're repenting. No, your repentance goes to God. It don't go to me. Some people just do it, so I'll pat them on the back. I don't care if you repent or not. That's up between you and God. In the 22:39 said, in the second I say unto you, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now this is going to get a little bit deep. So hold on. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you sit in the mirror and pick out all the faults on yourself? Do you sit in the mirror and say, well, Jason, you did this wrong today. You know, Jason, you can improve here. See, we don't do that. But we don't care to do it to others. We'll pick out every little fault they did, and we'll be so clear to pick out every little fault during the day they do to correct them when we got beams and nails and everything in our eyes and we don't even look in the mirror at ourselves. And how would you like somebody to treat you that way? You wouldn't like it. But why do we do it to others? That's how we show God we love him the way we treat our neighbor. Guys, I'm telling you stuff that will keep you out of hell. You understand what I'm saying? You think you're going to go to hell just because you got long fingernails or you got tattoos. Get your religious self out of here. That don't have nothing to do with loving your neighbor and loving God with all your heart. That don't have nothing to do with it. Worrying about people coming to church because they got too tight of pants on. Well, first of all, if you love God, you wouldn't wear too tight of pants to make somebody lust anyways. Come on. If we love one another, we ain't. Listen, how would you like somebody to do that to you? Love your neighbor as yourself. If you wouldn't do it to you, don't do it to others. Honor your father and mother. Where was I at? I'm sorry. Okay, honor, Matthew 19:9, honor your father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said in 22:37, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love thy Lord God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul, and the second thou shalt love thyself. Okay, Matthew 10:21. Hey, brother, in Matthew 10:21, and Jesus said, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go and sell everything thou hast, and give to the poor, and shall have treasure in heaven, and come take up thy cross and follow me. One thing we can show God how we love him by following him. Following him. Jason, run a radio. Really, God? Why? Don't ask why, just do it. Mary said the first miracle Jesus done, this is what Mary said to him. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. See, obedience is a key to show God love. We understand God loves us, and God shows us love every day. He's done showed the love. He gave his only begotten son. He saved your life. Why should God have to prove anything to us anymore? You know what? In Romans, let's go to Romans right quick. I'll show you something. I'm going to try to find this in Romans. Let's try to find this in Romans, guys. I think it's in Romans. You can show God by keeping his commandments. I beseech you, therefore, by present your bodies a living sacrifice. Guys, I'm trying to find that scripture. I don't think it's in, I'm trying to find it. Bear with me. Okay, here we go. In Romans 12, I was right, it's in Romans, but it's in Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is whose reasonable service? Yours. Why did God say that? Why did Paul say that to the Roman church? He said, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Guys, we got some work to do. The work we have to do is to prove to God that we love God. See, Job was tested. Matter of fact, the enemy come to God and said, God come to Satan and told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? You know what he was doing? He was putting Job to the test, my friend. He was putting Job to the test. Sometimes God has to test your love for him. And he was putting Job to the test because Satan said, Lord, he only blesses you because you blessed him. He said, I'm going to show you them blessings don't mean nothing to him. I'm going to take every one of them away and he will not curse me. And this is what happened. The Bible says that Satan began to take everything from him. And the Bible says that Job cursed not God one time. He cursed himself, but he never cursed God. See, my friend, how do you know you got love for God until you get tested? Sometimes God will test you to see if you're going to hang with him or not. Sometimes God will allow everything in your life to be stripped from you just to see if you're going to hang with him or not. God will strip you to the bone just to see if you're going to hang with him or not. Come on, somebody. God will take things from you just to see if you'll curse him. But my friend, let me tell you something. When your love is tested, when your love is tried, and it passes the test, then you have favor. See, a lot of people ain't got favor with God because you can't pass no test. See, we all got to be tested and tried. Jesus was led up in Matthew 4, led up by the Spirit of God to be tested and tried of the devil. My friend, let me tell you something. We all got to be tested and we all got to be tried. And it's our form of showing God, okay, do you say you love me now? You said you loved me back there because you had a pocket full of money. But do you love me now? What about when everybody walks out on you? What about when people leave your life, your kids tell you goodbye? I wonder if you're going to walk out on me then. My God, who am I talking to? Listen, God will test you to see how far you can go with him. And the reason he does that is because every human's got to go through testing trials. It's a testing of our faith. Let me tell you something. All the test is to see if you're going to walk out on him. That's all he's testing you. He's testing you to see if you give him the tithe and say, God, I quit on you. God, I can't handle it no more. But let me tell you something, friend. Let me encourage you this day. Don't you ever give up on God. Don't you ever walk out on God. I don't care what the devil throws at you. I don't care what he takes from you. Don't you ever walk away from God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Separate Give me a minute, guys. Let me pull this up. I'm going to give you some scripture here, guys. Give me just a second. All right, guys, give me just a second. Let me pull this up. I'm going to give you something. Hold on. I'm working on something. What shall separate you from the love of God? I'm trying to give you scripture here, guys, so bear with me. I'm trying to look up this scripture. Give me just a minute, guys. Give me just a minute. All righty. What shall separate us from the love of God? What shall separate you from the love of God? Famine? Darkness? Sword? Demons? What shall separate us from the love of God? You know, I walked out on God for 2 weeks. I backslid on God for 2 weeks, and I'm going to share this. I can't find the scripture, God, but it's in there. I know it is. It's in my mind, but I can't find the what shall separate us from the love of God? I think it's in Corinthians. I believe so. Sometimes it's hard to look these things up as you go, and you know that people want it real quick. But anyways, guys, it's in there. What shall separate us from the love of God? Hey, Sister Christy, what shall separate us from the love of God? See, you will be tested. You will be tried. But there's one thing he's trying to test you. He's trying to test to see if you're going to walk out on him. See, sometimes God will test you in a ministry too. Sometimes God will test you to see how far you can go with him. He'll allow people to walk out on you. He'll allow people to curse you. Job's wife said, why don't you just curse your God and die? And Job said, woman, you speak foolish. You see, I've been tested. I've had people walk out on me. I've had people leave me in the ministry, just leave me dry. But let me tell you something. There's one person that's never left me, and I will not leave him. And he's tested me time after time after time. But when the testing is done, who am I talking to this evening? I feel the Holy Ghost. When the testing is done, your time of testing will end. And when that testing ends, God said, this is my son and who I'm well pleased. Romans what? 8:35. Hold on, guys. Let's go to the scripture. I want to share this with you. Romans 8:35. All right, hit, watch this, guys. Watch this. I got to give this to you. Romans 8, 25. I knew it was in Romans. 35. Well, for some reason, it's not pulling it up. I don't know.
Here it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Again, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall it be tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
So, God is testing us to see how much we love Him. God will test you with your money. God will test you with your time. God will test you with your talents. Sometimes we start stuff and we don't finish things. I'm guilty. But God attests to see if we... one thing I have to say. Everybody was thinking it was impossible that we wasn't going to get on Apple. But come hell to high water, I'm getting on Apple. Because there's one thing I have to know. God lays stuff on my heart, but I got an enemy that tries to stop me. I got an enemy that always tries to delay the coming of this ministry. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the Holy Ghost spoke to me this morning in the truck. And he said, son, the delays of your ministry is just about up, because the enemy has delayed, your enemy has delayed the promises God has put on God's saving ministries. And it will go forward this year. I said, praise God. He said, that full-time ministry you've been praying for years, it's about to come to pass. Why? Because God is going, listen, the promises of God is about to say yay and amen. Listen, a heart deferred makes a heart sick. Listen, sometimes I give up on this ministry. I ain't going to lie to you. I get discouraged because it ain't going nowhere. And God said, you feel that way, son, because it ain't going nowhere. But I'm telling you, the enemy has delayed you, and he's always trying to stop my will in your life. But I'm here to tell you, he's got to have to back up now, because that's what I want you to start praying, the desires of the tree of life. Do you know the enemy's tried to stop me in ministry and trip me up a lot? Yes. But what God wants me to learn through all this, Sister Christy, is perseverance. He's wanting me not to give up to the enemy. He's wanting me not to lay down my towel and stay at that gate and keep praising him and keep walking around the walls of Jericho until them walls fall. You know what we do? We give up. If it don't go nowhere, if it ain't going the way we like it, I'm guilty. I'm the one that's been guilty for years. And that's why my ministry has never got anywhere, because I'd throw in the towel. Well, Lord, this seems like it ain't going nowhere no more. That's when you need to fight harder. That's when you need to dig deeper. That's when you need to work harder. That's when you need to press through. Because it was the people that pressed through, the crowd, that got their healing. It was the people that pressed through when they laid the palsy man down through the roof. Listen, they pressed through to get their healing. It was the woman that troubled the judge that got what she wanted from God. See, God is trying to teach you perseverance. God is trying to tell you, listen, don't start something no more and don't finish it. If I'm the altar, I'm the finisher. If I told you to do something, you perseverance through it and keep doing it, because when you do, it's going to break through that rock and water's going to fall out everywhere. If Moses, being 40 years in the wilderness, and God told him he was going to the promised land. 40 years. He never gave up on the promise. He never gave up on the promises of God. Don't you give up. If God has put a dream inside of your heart, you pursue it with everything you got. Don't you give up. But what happens is the enemy delays it so long, your heart begins sick. You begin being sick, and you get discouraged, and you don't get in here like you used to. You used to get in here, and you used to witness to people. You used to share, post everywhere. You was on fire. But all of a sudden, you don't feel on fire no more. You don't share as much no more. You don't pray as much no more. Why? Because he's making your heart sick. But God told me, bunch of sick people is going to be healed this year because the delays of the promises are coming real soon. Why? Because he's making the sick well again. I've had dreams that went under. I had a ministry that went under in Bremen. You know how I felt when it went under? I felt like, you know what? What was the use to that, Lord? But you know what God was teaching me there? You know what God wanted me to do? He wanted me to sit in that church and preach to them walls and don't close the doors. Sometimes God will test your perseverance to see how much he can push you to you to not give in the towel. Do you know the man that walked around Jericho, he didn't give up too easy? He walked around Jericho until Jericho, and he said, listen, I'm gonna defeat this battle. I'm going to defeat this giant. These walls are coming down today. So what if it took 50 years? Do you know Abraham believed God for years for a son, and God gave him Isaac? You know that? He could have got discouraged. Lord, you promised me a son for years. As a matter of fact, he probably got sick at the time, you know, because it was delayed. But just know, delayed is not denial. Delayed is not denial, folks. Just because it's delayed, it don't mean it's denied. All God's got to do is he's waiting on you to keep striking that rock. See, just like I did this app, you know, I said, Lord, this is hopeless. I've tried everything in the book to get our radio on this station, and it didn't go. I mean, I was feeling so discouraged. I went 6 months, and I said, Lord, come hell to high water. Today, it's the day this app's going to go on Apple. I'm not going to give up. We're going to reach the lost. We're going to keep trying. We're going to keep striking. We're going to go to the post. We're going to keep praying, Sister Christy. We're not going to give up on our praying. Listen, we're going to keep striking that rock. And one of these days, that rock will pour water. If I stop preaching today, what all these people that I've let down, listen, Sister Christy, I can't stop preaching. Even if I have to preach on behind a screen, even if I have to preach on the road, I can't stop preaching. Because I made a promise and a vow to God years ago in the jail cell in Chattanooga. I was looking at 10 years. He said, son, I'll get you out of here if you'll preach the gospel. You don't think God reminds me of that all the time? And when I quit preaching, God said, son, you told me that you would preach. Oh, it's easy to give in the towel. It's easy just to throw up and quit. I mean, you're looking at a quitter. You know what I'm saying? I've always been a quitter. Just, it ain't working out. Heck with it. But you can't quit. You got to keep on striking. You got to keep on going, people. You can't just lay down on God because God is looking for a warrior. God is looking for somebody who says, listen, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Jacob wrestled the angel. Jacob wrestled the angel. He wrestled the angel till the angel broke his hip. But he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. my God. Somebody needs to wrestle with God tonight. Somebody needs to say, God, I remember you promised me this years ago, and I'm not going to get up on this dream. Listen, God has promised me a studio. God has promised me a church. It's not going to be a church. It's going to be a studio. Kingdom Network TV is going forward this year. Kingdom Network TV, radio station, the Kingdom Radio is going forward this year. I'm telling you, these things will go forward. Not going to take no for an answer anymore. Sister Chrissy, I'm going to keep striking the rock till water comes out. I'm going to keep striking the rock till bean juice comes out. Whatever comes out of the rock, I'm going to keep striking it. Because I'm going to be on the enemy's heels just like he's been on me's heels for these many years. He's been on my heels. I'm going to get on his heels. My God, my God. There's so many times, Sister Christy, I've got so discouraged. There's so many times I just want to throw in the towel and say, you know what? I don't even feel like doing this anymore. It ain't going nowhere, Lord. It ain't getting off of plan A. It ain't getting off of plan B. Lord, it ain't, my Lord, it ain't even went to C yet. He said, son, don't give up. Keep striking. Keep going. Keep building. There was a message that I preached at As One Ministry, and Penny probably notices this, the message I preached in there was about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was building walls. He was rebuilding walls. As a matter of fact, I remember preaching this message like it was yesterday at As One Ministry. When Nehemiah was building the walls, the enemy was trying to discourage him. He was trying to discourage him. See, the enemy's always trying to discourage us to get us to stop building. But my friend, keep building. Keep doing. And when he discourages you from it, keep doing it even harder. Because you've got to stay focused in this season. Stay focused. Guys, we got to stay focused. We got to keep building. We got to keep reaching. We got to keep ministering. We got to keep touching people for God. We can't, Jason, I know God saved you, and brother, I know you ain't dead right now because Sister Christy reached out to you, I reached out to you, but see, we can't just stop there because there's billions of people out here in your same position, brother, and we got to go. We got to throw the life vest to them. We must throw the life vest. We cannot get discouraged and give them the towel because when you do, you're not only letting yourself down, but you're letting these people down that's about to pull the trigger. Believe me, I know, because I had a gun in that truck that night, was about to shoot myself, and a guy called me on the phone. And he said, listen, Jason, you need to come down to Lafayette, Georgia to this revival, and thank God that he did. Guys, do you know people right now as we speak is about to ready to pull the trigger? You know, people right now is committing suicide on the suicide watch. But you know what? If we just had one person there to say, no, don't do that. I got a better plan for you. I got a better solution. We need to get busy at doing God's work, and we don't need to allow distractions to get in our way, people to get in our way, busy bodies to get in our way, and people to come and distract us from what God is trying to call us to do. Listen, I'm sorry, babe. I'm sorry, honey, but I ain't got time to fool around with you today because you're distracting me from what God is calling me to. I'll help you, but I'll help you in a little while because right now I'm staying focused on what God has seen rolling out for me to do. Whew, my God, I feel the anointing. We got to stay focused. People will come in our life and totally get us off in left field somewhere. And you think it's a good cause, but it's not. Matter of fact, they're just doing it just to get you off track here. Listen, I'm sorry, honey. Just like they did Jesus. Martha said, Jesus, will you come heal my brother? He said, listen, it ain't time yet. I'm busy over here. He said, but my brother's going to die. He said, listen, I'm sorry. I know your brother's going to die, but you don't understand. I'm busy over here. I'm doing what God's telling me to do. You're just going to have to wait. But it was a good cause. But it wasn't a good cause because God didn't call the shot, because God wanted Lazarus dead and he wanted him to lay there for about 3 days and get all stinky and stuff so Jesus could walk up and say, Lazarus, come forth, stinky breath and everything. Why? Because God got more glory him being dead than he wasn't going to die. See, sometimes doing a good thing gets you off a track with God. It can look good, but it's not good because God didn't call you over right now. God's got you doing something else right now. The enemy is so sly. He's so sly. He tries to get you off track with God. And he does it in a good way. Well, if I get her doing ministry work and get her distracted off what God's told her to do, or he's told him to do. I've had that happen to me many times. And I said, listen, brother, I understand you need this, and sister, I understand you need this, but you got to understand something. God's called me to do this right now. You're just going to have to wait. And that's what I do. I listen to God. I got to get a project finished. If God tells me to do something, I got to get it finished, and when I do get it finished, then I'll help you. But until the meantime, you can't distract me because I'm focused. You got to stay focused. You got to stay focused. So many times I've got off track so many times because people wanted me to do this and do that and do this. I'm thinking, man, you know, Lord have mercy. I'm not your God. You need to learn how to go to him. And when you make people depend on you, you're saying, I'm your God, depend on me. No, that's termocracy. That's promocracy. You don't do that. See, men has pastors have taught people to depend on them. Call me 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't call me 3 o'clock in the morning because you need to call God. He never sleeps or slumbers. I do. I don't get people to depend on me. Because if I can get them walking with God like me, that's a less heartache on me. You'll wear yourself out in ministry, making everybody depend on you. Believe me, I've been there too. I had them calling me 3 o'clock in the morning. Pastor, hey, Pastor. What? I'm asleep. Not being mean, but they will wear you out. And then you get down there and you just hit the floor and you just, oh, God. Because you're trying to be God and you're not. You need to lead them and guide them and teach them how to follow God like you do. You know, one time I had a lady come in my ministry and she said, Brother Jason, I'm just broke all the time. I said, you need to give. Well, I ain't got nothing to give. I said, you got a penny? Start there. See, we need to teach people to walk with God just like Jesus was. Jesus did not baby people. Matter of fact, he went the first time he met him, he said, come follow me. And I'm about to close with this, guys. He said, come follow me. And the minute Jesus said, come follow me, what'd he do? He went to sleep in a boat. Could you imagine how these people felt abandoned? This fool got us out here in a boat, and now he goes to sleep. He was trying to teach them to follow God like he does. I'm not going to hold your hand. I'm going to teach you how to speak to the mountain it will remove. I'm sorry, but I just don't baby people anymore. Either you're going to learn to walk with God in my ministry or get out. Really, I ain't got time to babysit. I quit the babysitting game. I'm not here to babysit. I'm here to teach you to walk one foot in front of the other. And Jesus done the same thing. He didn't baby them, no sir. He told them he loved them, but he never babied them. He tried to teach them to walk like he walked with God. He tried to teach them to cast out devils. He tried to show them to walk on water. Did he not? He told Peter, he said, Peter, come on. If you want to walk on water like I'm walking on water, you just get out of that boat and come on, boy. He didn't go over and grab his hand. No, he told him, come. All these pastors babying people. These pastors are going to go to hell for that too, because they ain't nothing but a bunch of whiny brats up in the church. Come on, they ain't nothing but a bunch of whiny brats up in the church. They don't even know how to walk with God themselves. They got to call their pastor. They got to call their pastor. You know what? You need to get a relationship with God and get off your pastor's click. I just had to say that, folks. I'm sorry. These pastors, they think they do run a daycare. Let me tell you something. That is wrong. Jesus never run the church that way. He never run his disciples that way. He never did. He never, well, I'll just be there for you, brother. No, you need to teach them to stand in a storm and tell the devil, look, I'm going to tell you something. My pastor's been teaching me how to whoop your tail, devil, and today you had it. Listen, I don't have to call my pastor. I know how to get on my knees and pray and fast myself. I don't have to get to the pastor and call him every which way. I know how to get on my knees myself. Guys, we're not supposed to, listen, that pastor is there to lead you and guide you and show you the way he walks with God, not sit and hold your hand and do it for you. You got to learn yourself. You got to learn to get up in the morning and tell the devil, listen, I know I'm discouraged today, but you got to get out of my house now. And that devil sitting there, well, you better go get your pastor. Well, what if your pastor's in the hospital dead and everything else? What are you going to do then? You're going to learn to walk with God. You're going to learn to tell that devil, listen, you got to go. Pastor ain't around. People make me sick trying to depend on pastors. It's not your pastor's job to get up every morning and pray. It's not your pastor's job to put God first in your finances. What, you going to let him do it too? I'm just preaching. I know it ain't hitting you, and I know it's hurting, but it's the truth. People depend on ministers too much, and when they get let down by them, they hurt. Well, quit depending on them, because my Bible says, trust no man, but put your trust in the Lord. I tell Jason all the time, don't you depend on me, boy, because Jason's growing fast. Why? Because I'm not babying Jason. I'm not babying Jason. I'm not here to baby him. I'm here to tell him to walk with God like I do, and they grow a whole lot faster in the Lord. My God, you got people in the church that's been in there 20 years, they still sucking on a bottle. They wouldn't know how to walk with God through a storm more than a man in the moon. They have to have their pastor there with them. My God, who is your God, your pastor or God? Don't y'all ever put me first. You put God first. I'm here to lead you and guide you and tell you the truth, how to walk with God like I do. And I want you to walk tall and proud and say, listen, devil, I've been taught right. Because if you come near me, you got to come out or go in the swines, whatever you want to do. God said, and Jesus was trying to teach that to the disciples as well. He was. He said, greater works will you do when I go to my Father. If I don't teach you how to walk like a man, then you're going to be down here wondering, where's my Lord at? He's gone. Guys, we got to wake up. That's right, Newberry. You walk tall, sister. You don't need your pastor for everything. You need God. You need God. You know why pastors do that? Because they want to feel good, because they get called and recognized too much. It's all pride stuff. All pride. They want to be recognized for what they've done. You didn't do nothing. You didn't do nothing in the first place. God just put you at the right place at the right time to touch that person, but you didn't do nothing. Jason, I didn't do nothing for you. All God did was put me at the right place at the right time. That's it. I was just a vessel. Christy was a vessel. We didn't do nothing. It's all God. I don't have no pride, brother. No pride here, because I give my glory to the one that's making it happen. It ain't me. I'm just at the right place. I'm just a dirty old vessel. Just an old stinky little boy he chose to use. But thank God he used me, because I sure am willing. I ain't perfect, but I sure am willing. All right, guys, that's all I have for tonight. I appreciate y'all coming on. The Holy Ghost just lifted off of me, so, you know, I'm done for tonight. I said what I got to say. If it stepped on your toes, then it needs to. Because really, in reality, I don't want nobody to uplift me. I don't want you to trust in me. I don't want, listen, even Jesus said himself, don't call me good. Don't call me good. There's only one good, and it's God. It's not Jason. Jason's just a willing vessel, but I tell you, I'll let you down in a split minute, just like that, because I do not want you to put your trust in me. Listen to me. When God talks through me, respect the call I got on my life. Yeah, I'm not telling you to dislike me, but I don't want you to put your trust in me. I'm trying to teach you to put your trust in God. See, my friend, I'm pointing you to him, and that's all I can do, because he is my hope, he is your hope, he's all of our hope. All right, guys, love you guys. Y'all have a wonderful afternoon. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. We love y'all. God loves you. We do too. And we thank you. Have faith in God. Thank you, guys.